Hello, welcome back to Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going?
It's going well.
We were just talking before we hit record, getting ready to go to MicroConf. It's been a couple, for me, it might have been 3 years, because I don't think I did the last one, because it always corresponds right around the opening day for baseball. And in the very early days of SaberSim, I was like, I can't leave when it's just Matt and I and John. And at this point, though, we've got the support team, we've got the engineers. Like, I will still be on top of things, but I'm not as needed. And so really excited to get back to that, see a lot of friends, and just have a real conference again. So it should be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be awesome. It's been a long time since I've been. I mean, I went to two or three in Europe since we moved. And so I've been to a couple of conferences, but not like what used to be Vegas MicroConf. So yeah, heading to Minneapolis Saturday. This episode will go out a couple weeks after, but yeah, looking forward to it. I think, you know, learn some stuff, be inspired, connect with friends, probably the most important, valuable thing that I'll hope to get out of it. But yeah, it'll just be good to get together in person again. No gambling. Yeah, thank God.
I'll find a way.
Much less expensive trip overall that way.
But yeah, how are things going on your end?
Things are good. Yeah, we are... Like, we've been working on this a lot, like for years, and we're getting into a really calm way of working, which is really nice. Like, there are much fewer big surprises, much fewer stressful moments. And it's been several weeks like that now, you know, particularly on the product side. You know, like, marketing, I think, is always kind of just, you know, this process, and we run the process, and it's, you know, maybe we have an event or something, but, you know, development is always like, let's plan this thing, let's build this thing, let's release it, and then let's see how it goes. And we've just been releasing a lot of small things recently, which is, I think, why it's a lot less stressful. And it just feels really good. Like, we released a big integration with Stripe a few weeks ago. And since then, it's just been, you know, small fixes and updates and refactorings and kind of some of that maintenance stuff that we need. And it feels really good. And it'll continue for a while. It's kind of that season we're in. So it's been really good.
To me, it's important to take advantage of those seasons. Us, it is usually literally a season where it's like mid-summer. Kind of in between Q2 and Q3 is when we still want to be moving forward on things, but it's just, okay, basketball's over, baseball's up, there's other things going on, but our baseball stuff is just very good, and our product team can just keep moving forward on things, but it's not like we're getting tons of feature requests and all these other things coming in, bugs, whatever else. It's like we kind of have the roadmap set, and then it's once football starts, then it's pretty much a month later, and basketball and hockey start, and that's when it gets crazy again. So it's those couple months in the middle of summer. And I always tell the guys, like, hey, like, we're obviously not going fully European and checking out for the summer, but at least enjoy it. And I think it's good because my personality, at least, is always going to be do more faster, and it's that leads to burnout. That just leads to a lot of things. And so when you can just say, okay, like, this is one of the times where it's not necessarily that it's slower. It's that it's like, yeah, I think I like the way you said it, is that it's calmer, where it's like, we still have priorities. We have still have things that we're going to be focused on and trying to do to make an impact on the business, but it's just calmer and it's nice. Do you see it as a season for you, or is it just you are trying to make this more the new way of operating?
I mean, a bit of both, like a bit of, we needed to get this integration with Stripe out. It does a lot of things to enable us on a sales and marketing side to do a lot of things. And so it's a natural time to kind of flip the switch and say, like, hey, this is a cool down period. I think what we will do is take a lot of the things that we're seeing and learning from this period and carry them over going forward. So if you say, like, you know, out of 100% capacity, you normally would have reserved whatever number, 20%. For, you know, refactoring and updates and, you know, upgrading the Laravel version and the PHP version and, you know, increasing test coverage and all that kind of stuff. You know, maybe it's 25 or 30% now after this. One thing that you'll hear when you hear folks like Derek Reimer talk about product is, you know, write tests and make things right early on, because it will seem like it's slow at the beginning, but then you'll be able to move faster in the end. And we're still catching up with that level of sophistication, I'll say, in the application. And this is like a time where we're gaining a lot of ground on that. And if we would have done it at the very beginning, it would have taken another 2 months to get the product out the door. But that kind of baseline and mentality, even, I think, about the application is really important. And so, like, we're seeing it now, and that's cool, but it's taking this time, like, in the middle of the business. Whereas I think, you know, doing it up front maybe would have had some natural carryover effects to just how everybody operates in the application. So,
yeah, for us, I mean, we don't really have tests. So that's something that we're actually setting more like smoke tests and other things up on the deployment process to catch things that can go wrong that are testable. And then from there, we'll go in and build out more test coverage. But yeah, like we're not even at the, I guess we're at the starting gate on it, but a little over probably the last couple of years, really, when we brought Brian on full-time as a contractor, but brought him on to really lead the front-end refactoring, then had Eduardo join him on that. That was a lot of things that as a non-technical founder, was like, it feels like we're not doing anything. But it was just kind of keeping like, well, like, no, this is going to let us move faster. This stuff's a mess. There's going to be some of the bugs. It's not as though it's going to solve all the bugs, but when they do come up, they're going to be much easier to figure out what's going on. Because like right now, we just have no idea what's happening or why. And I trusted the team and it paid off. And it's like once this year really, not the calendar year, but like probably the last 12 months is when we've really been feeling it. It's like, okay, like here's all that we're paying off. Like things, there's still issues and there's still more like the test coverage stuff and other things that we need to work on, but debugging everything is way easier. New features get released much faster. So it's just tough figuring out like, do we pay down the tech debt or let the interest accumulate a bit?
Yeah. And it's a learning process, man, especially for us as non-technical founders. And I think I know that it's a tough thing for developers even to have the confidence to come to a, especially non-technical founder and say, I need another month to finish this feature because I have to refactor all this stuff that I wrote 2 years ago. I can imagine like when I hear those words, I want to say, what the fuck are you talking about? Why didn't you do it right the first time? But I mean, it's just like revising a blog post or just like re-optimizing a drip campaign in, you know, email marketing software. Like this stuff has to happen. We as managers have to allow the development team the time and the space to do this. And it's like really deep thinking work. So, I mean, it's just, it's a big learning lesson for me. Like, I don't know if I'll ever build another SaaS platform, but we'll take that time at the beginning because I do think there's a significant carry-on effect of that. And like, as you all start writing tests, then like test-driven development will become part of the culture. And I think it really positively impacts things. So, and it's a spectrum too. Cause I mean, like we have had times like this several times. It levels up the expectations we have of each other every time. So, and I don't think it'll ever stop.
Agreed. I mean, a lot of this is top of mind for me just as right now we're recording this, it's the end of March. So I've been thinking a lot about quarterly planning and just figuring out the priorities of saying, okay, I don't know if you're like this, but I always feel like the start of a quarter will do all this planning. First month and a half, maybe even 2 months, it's like, all right, like firing all cylinders. But then it's just as the quarter goes on, you get pulled in different directions. You kind of lose track of what you are aiming at. And then that's definitely where we were. It felt like the last month, really. It was just like, wait, like these things that we're working on, I was, for most of them, I was the one that said, like, let's do this. But I don't, when I take a step back, I'm like, I don't see why this was that important to do. What about the things we were originally trying to tackle this quarter and so on? And so the quarters usually come at a pretty good time for us because it's like right when it's like, yeah, we're definitely getting off track. And so, yeah, that's right now for us is we did the quarterly planning. And so, yeah, just been going back and balancing. Okay, like I can go on my tangents where I'm just like, guys, this app, like, why is this button different than that one? Like, why are these screens changing sizes? Like, why is the toggle over there? And then I'll just create a wildly long list of all just the things that are inconsistent in that. I'm just like, this is sloppy. And then they'll start working on it. And then like the quarter will hit. And I was like, oh shit. Like, yeah, these things have bothered me for a while. Let's do some of them. But it's not really going to move the needle. And tech debt is almost always what gets prioritized over those random little like cleanup things that I want to do. But yeah, so that's just kind of what we've been thinking about this week, of just like, what are we actually going to prioritize going forward? But I know with OKRs and everything, you're on they do that every quarter, right?
They do. Yeah.
You do.
And I was smiling because like I joke with the team that they must have like a drinking game when I say OKRs. But yeah, I mean, so it is OKR time. A big part of the last 2 weeks of the quarter is to review the performance of the current quarter's OKRs. And I'm like, we've done a poor job of that because we had to shift some focuses. And so like some OKRs just don't make any sense anymore. And I'm actually in the process of like doing a screencast to the team to kind of talk through our OKR performance for the quarter, like retroing on that. So that'll be cool. And I'm going to deliver that to them next week. So those that listen to this, you will have been surprised already. And then like, yeah, we're starting to plan out the next quarter. And so we have a customer of ours who builds OKR software. It's called GTM Hub, a really impressive company. And they've raised like, you know, whatever, bajillion dollars and are like hyper growth kind of stage. And obviously they are like really big into OKRs. And I emailed one of them because I had like a call with them a while back because I've been struggling with setting company level OKRs and group level OKRs. If you think about like rocks, you know, OKRs are rocks. Like I think the goal setting part is similar. What I did before, which I now know is wrong, is I would set like company level goals and each group, you know, development and product and support and marketing would each have their own KR, like metric, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sell this much, this many leads, key result, right? And then that would translate like one-to-one, literally to their division level OKRs, right? So marketing would be generate 250 marketing qualified leads. And then their OKR would be generate 250 marketing qualified leads. And by that, my key results on like a individual level will be run 8 webinars and increase website traffic by X and blah, blah. And so like that literal one-to-one translation is wrong. And so what I started doing is like kind of loosely defining the company level OKR and then spending a lot of time on the group level OKRs because they're just so much more finite and tangible and like they make more sense, right? And then like doing that and then coming back to the company level OKRs and refining that. And like all those group level OKRs flow, a lot of them flow up directly to the company level, but like support is a good one that often doesn't, you know, like support, delivering great support is probably not going to contribute to our metric of like dominating private podcasting. You know, it's just like,
it'll support it, but it's not going to be the driving force of it.
Yeah. It's not like this giant feature or this enormous marketing campaign or something like that. So that was nice. Like disassociating company level and divisional OKRs in a way was really great. And so like, because I really struggle, like I spent about a half day just staring at our spreadsheet. Like, what the fuck? Like, what am I doing? This is wrong. We have too many key results on the company level. Like they don't have numbers in front of them. Like every key result has to have a number. And so anyways, did that. And then the other big thing I learned is I've been much more loose with defining the group level key results and letting the team members define them, right? So Sam, marketing, say, Sam, like this is where we want to go. You tell me how you want to get there. And that's been cool. We've had a lot of really productive discussions around that. Sometimes like my rough like shot at it have been right. Sometimes they've been way off and we talk through it. And you know, all the times in all of the kind of instances that we've talked through, we've been at a good spot in the end. I think that last one is a glimpse into, you know, say like a real company where like a person can own an entire division and the outcome and the budget and the team and all of that. Because you can imagine like if you have a VP of engineering, like the OKR setting is just like, hey, this is where I want to get. It's your job to figure out the rest. Like I think this is taking a step in that direction instead of me being much more this and this and this and this and this and kind of specifying a lot more of the details. Like we're coming up with them together.
It's actually something that's been on my mind of just the different layers, I guess, of team members where you have at the top, it's going to be the most strategic. Then one layer down, it's okay, here's where we're trying to go. How do we get there? And then for the layer below that, it's like, okay, like here's how we're going to get there. Here's what you need to do. And you tell them, you want their input in all this and that, but it's more like you're giving them a game plan and telling them why you're doing, why they're doing it, why this is the direction you're going. But it's just like not as though they're really driving the strategy. And it is tough to delegate some of the decision making. And I think, so the way we do it right now is, I mean, we're still kind of trying to figure out like the actual system, but a lot of it, what it will look like is I come to the quarterly meeting with a pretty clear idea of, okay, this is where I think we went off track. Here's where I think we're going, and start high level, but with like an actual clear, okay, like here's what I think we need to do. And for us, it was really, I was getting too distracted by churn and by a lot of the people who just frankly aren't a good fit for us. And I think there are things we could do to get them to stick around longer, but that just seems like a fool's errand. And so it was getting clear on that and saying, we're not going to ignore that segment. And I think there's a lot we can do in a one-to-many way, improve things for them to reduce friction and help them get up to speed. But it's not as though we're going to be offering one-to-one help for those customers. It's like that. It's just not, it's going to take a shit ton of time that we don't have. And at the end of the day, it's never going to, it won't be enough to do anything. So it's like, okay, we really need to refocus around the best customers. Who is that? What are the things they care about? And going like, if Matt and Ben disagreed significantly with those ideas, then yeah, sure, we would definitely talk about it and figure it out. But usually it's so far been the case that it's like, okay, they agree with the premise. Now let's collaboratively work together to figure out how are we going to do that. And so it's like, okay, on really what it's been for the back end is a lot of what Ben and John do so far has been more supporting the other initiatives. It's like when we add a new sport, that means there's 3 to 6 different data feeds we have to collect and clean and normalize and all that stuff. It means there's a whole another set of things that we have to check to make sure there's no issues with it and build a new API out for this and all of that stuff. And so a lot of his bandwidth has been supporting other goals. And so I think a mistake we made last quarter was just not, we knew it, but we didn't write that out. So it was like, okay, like here are the main priorities for the back end. Like we're going to fix this, that, and this. And it's like, if that was all they were doing, they absolutely could have done it. But it's like, oh yeah, there's all these other things that they have to do to support it. And so yeah, this quarter has been just trying to take more of a holistic view of saying, okay, here are the people we have on the team. What can we actually do? And so like, okay, for this one, we want to probably not going to be adding many new sports this quarter. Maybe the US Football League, we'll see. But it's like, okay, we're going to do this. Who else does that impact? And so let's make sure we write that down and are aware of that as we start planning what are the actual new initiatives we can do. And so it's been collaborative there. And then we'll go even lower. It's like, okay, we're going to have figure out what are these cleanup things that I've been asking for forever, rather than just having Javier spend 2 months, 3 months doing all of them. What are the most important ones? Let's get a few weeks, knock these out. And then Matt and I literally would go through the backlog and be like, oh, this one's fine, this one, and just like get clear on that. And then one of the goals is just like ship these. But we don't currently push the goals down to individual contributors. It's like Matt, Ben, and I have goals. We are not, some of them, we are the ones leading it, but for most of them, we're not. It's really like, we're making sure these things get done, but we're not the ones doing the end work. And it's still like, that's where I'm up in the air is tomorrow we'll do our all hands and I'll spend that going over the goals and talking about why we're doing them, how everyone fits in, why it's so important. Just again, like making clear what we're doing and what, like, they'll know what the goals are. But I just almost wonder how far we need to go with it. Like, to me, this is just like enough. Like, this is fine. Like, I'm not trying to. It's when I like the principles of EOS, and I think honestly, we'll keep working towards it for our meetings and things like that, of just like, how do we structure the meetings? What, like, action items have to come from this? So this is when we do that. But it's just trying to figure out, like, all right, like, do we really need to just go to a spot where literally everybody has something? Because if I have a, if there's a goal around support, where for us, it's going to be getting to inbox zero, and it doesn't necessarily literally mean zero, because like, new things can come in, but we'll figure out how to define it. But getting to inbox zero every day by 2 p.m., 80% of the days. A lot of other things will flow from that. If we can do that, it means that things are on track. And like, my job is to make sure that happens. And I'm going to work with Chris and Ruben and Ross to do that. But I don't know that I need to then figure out like sub goals. Like, all right, so that means you're going to do this and you're going to do that. It's like, no, like, I don't know. So that's sort of where we're at. But do you feel like going down to the IC level of saying everyone has goals, we've got to do this everywhere, is worth it?
No. It's a mix though, right? Like, marketing is a person, right? But development is five people. So like, we just have group level goals, and sometimes they're individual contributors, sometimes they're not. And I think that like, the way we're more closely focusing on OKRs at the group level this quarter than company level is right, because it's just more specific, you know? And like, your question of like, how much of this do you need? To me, OKRs are cool because, or rocks, right? It's the same benefit is they give clarity and purpose and accountability, you know? And that last one in a really hopefully positive way, right? Like, we want really positive results in like morale and sense of accomplishment from setting these goals and meeting them. It's not like a yardstick against which people are measured, right? It is like, hey, we set this goal, we worked hard, we achieved it, this is awesome. Yeah, and I think that's as far as you need to go. And I think that the value of, that's as far as you need to go at our size companies. Right?
Exactly.
I think when you're 100 people, then it gets super important to have about the same level of exposure, I guess, like at like against like an individual level, I guess. That's not good terms, but like if you had 30 people on your development team, having one set of OKRs would probably not be enough, because you would need like a front end set and a back end,
right?
And I guess, set and a QA set and stuff like that.
Yeah, because what it's making me think is still, I am still questioning the hyper specific, but just like having it all flow down to fully to the IC level, meaning an individual contributor owns one of the goals. And I think that's where I has been like my sticking point, because at the end of the day, if we have the right people in place, and so if these things don't get done, if Jordan isn't able to redo the product documentation, it's because I fucked up something along the way and took him off tack. Like, that's not his fault, because really, like, I'm the one triaging and filling up his backlog of what to work on. So to me, it's just like, why? He's going to be the one responsible for doing the work. He and I are going to coordinate, collaborate to make sure the right things are being done. But if it doesn't get there, I'm the one, like, I, by definition, like, it has to be because he's doing something else. And then that would be my fault. I don't know. I see you're.
I don't agree. I don't entirely agree, because like, a big thing that for us, I hope OKRs do is empower the team to say no to me and to other people on the team, to say, like, if I go to Sam and say, Sam, we're going to start running Instagram ads, I want you to spend all of your time, you know, on Instagram as an influencer, he should say, what are you smoking? Like, this doesn't align with my OKRs at all. And so, like, I would hope Jordan could say the same thing to you, that like, hey, you know, sure, happy to do that, explain how that supports my OKRs. And if it doesn't, like, y'all can have a discussion about like, okay.
And I think this is like a nuanced
OKRs out the window
thing, because I think that the way we're doing this, I feel like that is what the outcome will be, because like, he'll be aware of what the marketing goals are and that like, he's responsible for this. But to me, I just think the ownership is different, because he can't, obviously in any team, there's going to be hierarchy, whether it's explicit or not. But he's not going to be able to just change the development timeline to make sure these things get met. I can't. And that's where, like, I feel like if you don't have that authority to like make sure this actually happens, you are not the owner. You might be the responsible one. And so I guess that's the distinction I'm making. Like, I do want to be clear of what, hey, these are the expectations. Like, this is what our goals are. We're going to make sure we do this. If I get us off track, tell me. But like, I'm the only one who's going to be able to, like, Jordan does a great job of, and all of our guys do a great job of like reaching out if we need help from someone else on the team, like in the rest of the team gives them that. But again, like, can't shift around all their priorities. And so I think that more what I'm saying is that ownership component. And I think without the ownership component, the goals are like a beacon. They're a guidepost, but that's just where I kind of stop with that. I'm not going to be like, okay, like now let's go another level down and say, Jordan, these are your goals. You own these, because I just don't think there can be that same level of ownership.
I agree with that. And I think that I feel like we're too big for our britches sometimes with OKRs, because the place they really work are in that, say, 40 plus person size company, I can imagine, where you have a person that has a budget and has headcount and has responsibility, and they're a director or VP level, and like you expect them to own that whole silo of the business. You know, having a person on marketing and expect them to own that whole side of the business is a little much. I think what we're saying too is like the by far the best part of like goal setting, OKRs, rocks, whatever, is like being intentional about taking the time at the end of a quarter or the beginning of a quarter and communicating that. And from there, like how you track it and stuff, and like issue resolution, like they say in EOS, like is all really positive. But like the most valuable is that this time at around the end of a quarter.
Yeah. And it was kind of what I was saying in the beginning too, where it's one, just being intentional about it and having a cadence to it. Because often what we would do the first couple of years is, all right, like there's the first, I mean, I guess it's only been like 3.5 years, but the first year and a half for sure is just everything's on fire. We got to do all the things, like heads down, just get these things done. Quarterly planning didn't matter. It wouldn't have hurt, but it's just like, no, like there's so much obvious stuff we have to fix and do. Let's just do it. But then I think we were too slow to get onto the more of a regular cadence. And it would just be when I was saying before that near the end of a quarter, I just like, oh, like we're kind of getting off track. That would go on for much longer until I finally was like, whoa, like this, like we've been saying 2 months on this and doesn't make, this is not a priority. Like what happened? So just having that on the calendar, doesn't matter what's going on. Like we are going to review things, plan for the next 3 months. That's been big just to give us that accountability and make sure that, yes, like, are we still going to get off track sometimes? Absolutely. But like, it won't be that bad. And so we also just set up every Monday, Ben, Matt, and I do about an hour long strategy call. We just kind of review everything, and then they go out and talk with their teams. I'll talk with support and marketing and go from there. But once a month, I just today add it. So it's going to be an extra half an hour. And that half an hour is going to be reviewing the goals and just seeing like, hey, like, are we still like working towards this? Because there were times too, whereas when we looked at the goals, I truly hadn't looked at them for a couple months. And I was like, oh yeah, this was a goal. And then we're just like, yeah, we decided not to do this one because of X, Y, and Z. But there was like no comment on the card that said like, we intentionally decided not to do this. And so I think just having a monthly check-in on that will be enough. But I'm just also trying to be mindful of not having too much process, too much stuff. And that's where it's like, again, I think the size team we are, don't want to go crazy with it. But it's just hard to argue the value of alignment and all that. So it's like Matt, Ben, and I own the goals. We make those goals clear to everyone, and we do take their input and adjust things accordingly, but make sure they're aware of it and like where they're going. But if we don't get there, it's more on our shoulders. That's where we've netted out so far.
Nice, man. Well, it's good to talk through this. I think it's super valuable no matter what size company you are. Just one person should take the time to set the goals and keep track of them, I think. And as you get bigger, probably more important to be intentional about it. But yeah, Andy, looking forward to seeing you next week.
Yeah, for sure. Should be good. So if anyone has any questions, I would say if you see us at MicroConf, say something, but this will come out afterwards. But hopefully people know they can reach out. But if you have any questions, anything else, shoot us an email at podcast@seekingscale.com. As always, thanks for tuning in.